Welcome to Accounting Influencers, the podcast for accounting leaders and influencers who want to know exactly what makes the good firms great and the great accountants world class. Let's get today's show started with your host and founder of the BD Academy, Rob Brown.
Welcome to the show, everyone. I am thrilled to have with me today the world-famous futurist, Christian Krohn. Good day, sir.
Hi, thank you for having me.
It's great to have you on the show, Christian. You are the author of Humanification, Go Digital and Stay Human. We're going to unpack that today. But just for those people that haven't met you before, tell us a bit about your background and your areas of expertise.
Well, I'm a futurist, speaking all over the world. At least I did before the coronavirus hit us. I was an entrepreneur for 15 years. So I founded a tech company and we helped large organizations to reinvent themselves, to disrupt themselves. 5 years ago, I sold my company, started to write my book, Humanification, that became an instant bestseller on Amazon. And since then, I was asked to travel all over the world to do my keynotes and speeches and inspire people about the future that's coming towards us very rapidly. I base my work on the parallels with nature. So I speak about technology, but I always relate to biology and it becomes something that they are familiar with and that's normal for them.
What prompted you to write the book?
Well, about 10 years ago, my daughter was born, Lika. And after 3 months, we discovered she had some severe health problems, health issues. So we went to hospital and they discovered that she had a very rare genetic disorder. So she needed surgery right away, heart surgery. And during surgery, everything that could go wrong went wrong. Her body was not responding to the procedures, not responding to the medication. So after the surgery, they told us that our daughter was very, very sick and that there are only 4 or 5 people in the world with that same disorder. So they couldn't help us. So she got a terminal diagnosis. That forced me to look in different directions, to look in a more holistic way towards health. And during that search, we found a solution to save her life. So she's today almost 10 years old. She's doing great. But I also found something interesting. What I found is that there are many, many parallels between how cells and biology build organisms and how human beings use technology to build organizations. That was basically the spark for me, the insight.
Yeah, what a great story. So now you're futurist. I imagine you don't wake up one morning and say to yourself, I'm going to be a futurist. So tell us about that evolution from being an entrepreneur into looking so far ahead that people call you a futurist.
Yeah, basically, when I was an entrepreneur, I was inspiring management teams and CEOs to think ahead because most of them are involved in their day-to-day protocols and procedures and processes.
Yeah, head down, fighting fires and
deep. Exactly. So KPIs, the profits, all the things are important on a day-to-day basis, but no one looks further ahead. Right. So that's when I started to help people think in a different way, to think more future-related. But after writing my book and seeing the parallels between nature and technology, I discovered that nature basically provides us with a roadmap, a blueprint of where technology is going. And if we want to predict the future, we have to look into our body, or how nature works. So that helped me to create a very strong and solid vision of the future. And after a while, people start to call you a futurist. I never came up with that word by myself, right. But it's a long road, but you'll become it before you know it.
I understand. So what do you do on a daily basis?
Before March,
I
was traveling a lot. So in the meantime, I spent time with my kids and my wife. I have 3 young kids.
But you're researching as well, because you've got to discern, you've got to find out what's going to happen so you can talk about it in your speeches.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of speeches are industry specific. So I speak for finance industry, accounting, for example, but also agriculture, healthcare, all these things. So they want to have a vision for their company. So you have to do research, what that company is all about, what their market is, what kind of technologies are moving into that space. So I think research is at the 40-50% of the time. You do that a lot of the time during the travel, in the airplane, in the hotel.
And what do you look for when you research? Let's say you're doing a speech for an accounting firm or an accounting network association, and they want to know what's coming up. How would you go about researching the future for them?
Start to look in that industry, how it works, what kind of players are there, what is the main process of being an accountant, for example.
Okay.
And then I start to apply technologies which are very good at automating or digitizing that job or that skill. And that's why I try to look at skills and habits of people and try to relate to technology from that skills and habits and show them why their job or their profession will be disrupted within 5 or 10 years from now. So I always try to make it personal for people so that they can relate to it.
I'm curious, and I'm sure our listeners are as well. When we hear the word future. Is that 5, 10, a million years in advance? Is that 90 days in advance? Because with COVID now, it's so much more difficult to predict the future. So what is that time period you're looking into, Christian?
Most of the time, next 5, 10, 15, 20 years. But whoa, 10 okay. years is already far, far ahead.
Has that shortened now with COVID?
COVID is more a catalyst. It's increasing okay. the speed of disruption. So right. we have to work from home now, more digital. And that's already was a trend, but now it's going faster and faster.
Yeah, I've heard that phrase a lot, that the pandemic is accelerating change.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I think pain is one of the best drivers for change. It's the best motivators. And we experience pain right now on a massive scale, on a society scale. And pain can be translated into power to do something, to change it. And I hope that people will not go in the old pattern again, which we came from, but we try to create a new pattern, which is more sustainable, perhaps even regenerative. I'd say also more digital, because we are relying on those digital technologies right now.
Entrepreneurs are open to change. Accountants and people like that, they're not comfortable with change, are they?
No, they're not hired to be comfortable with change, I think. I think accountants are very good at looking at the past.
Exactly.
But that's already changing. If you look at new technologies like artificial intelligence, they're able to predict future patterns within organizations, financial patterns. So I think accountants of the future will also look in the future, not in the past, not in the now, but in the future as well.
So humanification, great word. You made that up, didn't you? I've never heard that word before.
Yeah, I couldn't find anything that matches my idea. So I came up with the word myself.
And tell the audience a little bit more about the book and what they would find if they read it.
Yeah, well, the book is called Humanification. The subtitle is Go Digital, Stay Human. The main message of the book is that technology is something natural and we have to embrace it. We have to embrace change because it can help us to unite as humanity and to empower individual people. It's the same what biology did in the past. What I start to do is look back in the past for 1 billion years and I start to look at the first little cells, how they evolved and how they start to collaborate with each other in communities. And during that research, I discovered that there were 7 big disruptive waves where cells developed new biological systems, tissues or organs to build more agile, more organisms that were able to survive even better. And there were 7 big waves and each wave has a specific theme. The first wave was all about interaction between cells. The second wave was about infrastructure, vascular systems, digestive systems. The third wave was all about the nervous system, information infrastructure. The fourth wave was about the reptile brain, which automates all the internal processes. The fifth wave was all about the limbic brain, the social brain, the mammal brain, which is about short-term memory, related to other people, emotions, all these things. And the sixth wave was the neocortex brain. And the neocortex brain, it helps us to learn and adapt in real time. It's like the AI in the cloud for biological organisms. And finally, the prefrontal cortex, which helps us to develop language, understand complex concepts and all these things. So what I discovered is that in technology, these same waves, they are faster and bigger in scale. So the first wave was all about agriculture. It's about interaction between people. We start to build villages. We start to do agriculture. Therefore, our communities were able to grow faster. The second wave is about infrastructure. So the Industrial Revolution helped us to create a vascular system and a digestive system of our society with the large industries, railroads, oil pipelines, and all these things. When we discovered electricity, we entered the third wave, which was all about telecom, the nervous system of our society, but also sensors like microphone, television, all these things. The fourth wave was about automation, like the microprocessor operating systems. It was the automation wave, which started after World War II. And the fifth wave started in 1995, when the internet became mature. That's the limbic brain of our society. We start to upload images, photographs, videos, and now today we share everything and we can learn from each other much faster and we became more social in communities. And the sixth wave is about artificial intelligence in the cloud. It's like the neocortex in our brain, which helps organizations to learn and adapt in real time. And the final wave, which will start, I think, 6 years from now, will be about holographic technology. It's like the same thing that prefrontal cortex enables organisms to visualize things, to simulate things. And I think that this technology will enter, and then I'm talking about extended reality, augmented reality, virtual reality, mixed reality, all these kind of technologies that will make technology coming even closer to us. And we don't have to communicate via a smartphone or a flat screen, but it's in 3D around us. It's everywhere. Wow. So it's like an extension on our real reality. And those are the 7 waves which correspond with the 7 waves in nature. And that's basically what the book is about. And I help people and organizations to understand this pattern and to anticipate this pattern so that you're able to thrive on the next technological wave.
So you can make predictions for technology and organization based on nature and biology.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, this pattern is so accurate and so precise that you can make predictions how technology will impact society, how technology will impact organizations, and how technology will impact our personal lives. And that's where it becomes very personal for people. How it will affect your skills or your job or your profession. And you can do that in a very accurate way, I think.
Talk to us about the technological AI wave. That's the sixth wave. We're in that one right now, Christian, aren't we?
Yeah, I think it started in 2018.
Okay.
And all these waves are like S-curves. So they start really, really slowly, then they increase exponentially, and finally they mature and right. The technology is mature. And then we go to the next S-wave. And we see this, for example, in telecom, in 3G, 4G, 5G networks, microprocessors, they all evolve in S-curves. And biology and technology do exactly the same. So AI was there for, I think, the last 10, 20 years, but they accomplished so little. But now when technology is evolving exponentially fast, we see that we can create algorithms that 10 years ago needed a server of $1 million. And now it's in your smartphone. So all the nuts and bolts are there. So AI is now going exponentially. We see it everywhere. When you open and unlock your smartphone, for example, recognizing photographs on your Facebook page, all these platforms use AI already. And this is only the beginning. We also see AI in specific industries, for example, to do diagnoses in the healthcare industry, because AI can oversee a billion different variables and make conclusions about it. And humans cannot see this big amount of data. So we see it everywhere now. And AI is going to do a lot more. For example, autonomous cars, autonomous drones, which will deliver your package from Amazon, autonomous cleaning devices, autonomous this and autonomous that. You can imagine it. Everything can be automated by using artificial intelligence. And that's what we will see in the next 5 to 10 years, a massive change where many skills and many professions will be automated because this technology can recognize patterns, also if they are very subtle, and they can automate that pattern and can make an automated skill from that, especially in the accounting profession where it's all about numbers and spreadsheets. Machines are very, very good at that, and especially artificial intelligence. I see a lot of disruption happening in this area.
Well, in 2016, I suffered a stroke. I had a brain hemorrhage. I lost some vision, a quarter of my peripheral vision, and I'm not allowed to drive. So I can't wait for driverless cars to come in. I know they're in America. They're not here in the UK yet. But you say AI is everywhere. People don't see it. It's not part of everyday life yet. They don't realize everything that AI is doing in the way, say, that you do, Christian, because you investigate this, don't you?
Yeah, but basically it's everywhere. But that's the funny thing of artificial intelligence will make technology more human. For example, Siri or Amazon Alexa or Google Assistant. Now, if you can talk to the machine can understand you and you can do all kind of things with the machine or exchange information. 10, 20 years ago, if you want to work with computers, you have to learn the language. You have to adapt to them. But now machines are so powerful that they can adapt to us simply by speaking, or they scan your face and they can see your emotions and your non-verbal communication. Combined with your verbal communication, they can understand what your intention is and what you want to do. So this technology, the thresholds to use it become lower. Because autonomous cars, Elon Musk from Tesla announced that this week they will launch their first level 5 autonomous car. And that's a car that can drive completely without hands and using the pedals. You just step in and you say where you want to go, and the car is driving you there, and you don't have to pay the driver or whatever. It's all fully automated. So technology is going to the background by using artificial intelligence. And that's why we don't see AI in every street corner, but it's there. It's everywhere. It's in Amazon shops. It's in everywhere. In search engines, translation, even if you use Skype, for example, you can speak with people in different languages, and the machine is translating that language in real time. So you can have a conversation with someone in China, both speak your native language and have a good conversation. So technology is becoming more human in that way and merging more people together, helping more people.
So in some ways it's helpful, it makes life easier, but in other ways it's more disruptive. It makes life more difficult to cope with in a way. Does that make sense?
Yeah. What you see is technology is basically neutral. And what you see right now, for example, with Facebook and Google, they use technology to make profiles, and that profiles of people are worth a lot of money. So we see a lot of polarization. People who are against each other, because the algorithms set us up towards each other, because then they make more profit. So I think the technology in itself have a lot of potential, but it's the way how you use it. I think technology should be used to empower people, to unite people. And I think today is happening the opposite. So technology is dividing people and it's enslaving people. So people are enslaved with their timeline on Facebook all day and not paying attention to their spouse or family or friends. It's now a time to start to use technology in a wise, purposeful way. So in accounting, for example, you can use AI to automate all your accountants and put them out of the company, but you can also use it to empower those people so they can work more creatively, have more conversations with the customers to understand their true needs, all these things. So it's how you use technology that makes it positive or negative.
Yeah, that's a really good point. So will there be any jobs left in the accounting industry, and what skills do you feel will be needed in the future?
I think every skill that can be digitized will be automated sooner or later. And when things become automated, they become a commodity. So we see this, for example, at Netflix or Spotify, all the songs that you can listen to for a fixed fee per month. Same with Netflix. And many other skills that can be digitized and automated will drop in price. On the other hand, when things cannot be digitized or automated, then they will increase in value. So I think the real human skills, the soft skills, emotional intelligence, personal attention for someone, listening to someone, creativity, vision, ethics, all these things which are more in the human domain, those will be the skills that will be in demand in a future economy. So the accountant of the future will be someone who's able to think with their customers in a creative way, come up with new solutions, because the standard solutions will all be automated by smart algorithms. So there will be humans to connect with other people and to really listen to them, to discover their intentions and to help them to solve problem in a creative way. Yeah. So I think the profile will be slightly different from today's accountants because they're avoiding risk today. That's their job. That's where they're hired for. But in the future, technology can do that and you will be more awarded by finding risks, doing more the creative job, having a vision how you think solve things and find the right technology to solve the job. In healthcare as well, what doctors do is all theoretical data. They have a triage system and they go to the roots and they diagnose you. Machines are very good at that. So what should a doctor of the future look like? Well, he should be very involved with the care of the patient, with the interaction with the patient. A lawyer, the same thing. AI can read through 300 or 400 million legal documents within 1 second and give you a straight answer. So the lawyer of the future should be more focused on the interaction. And I think that the accountant of the future should do the same. So the interaction with the customer, help that customer to understand his problem, and technology will do the rest. I think that will be the biggest shift. And we will see this in many, many professions. And there are, in the early days, only blue collar jobs can be automated by robots, but now also white collar jobs. So people in the finance industry, we see this with banks in the Netherlands, for example, they have so much automation that they have increased in size from 100,000 people working there only now 5,000 or 6,000 people. I think that will happen in many, many other industries and accountancy as well.
Yeah, Christian, this has been great. If people are fascinated like I am with what you're saying, how can they find out more about you, get in touch with you, maybe get a copy of your book?
Copy of my book is sold on Amazon and on my website. They can download a free ebook if they want. My website is christiancromer.com, and I also have a YouTube channel. I'm on LinkedIn. So if people want to know more about me and my ideas and visions, they can take a look there.
Well, Christian, this has been terrific. Would you leave us with some words of encouragement for the accountants listening that are perhaps half excited by what you're saying, but half scared about what you're saying? What would you say to them to encourage them about the future?
Yeah, I think go digital, but stay human. So focus on your human skills, increase those skills and embrace the digital, because that's where everything is going. So don't be afraid of it, embrace it and see where it brings you.
Oh, Christian Cromer, that's been world class. Thank you so much for your time today.
You're welcome. Thank you.
You've been listening to Accounting Influencers, the podcast for accounting leaders and influencers who want to know exactly what makes the good firms great and the great accountants world class. For show notes on today's and other episodes, plus some great blogs and resources to help accountants lead, sell, and perform at the highest levels, go to bdacademy.pro. Until next time, have a fantastic day.